01419511025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we look back on a big weekend across Scottish football. Rangers are back to winning ways at Hearts in a game Neil Critchley can't believe his side didn't win. Celtic are in Munich set for tomorrow's Champions League showdown, but Harry Kane is a doubt for the hosts, and Motherwell have their new manager. The name Michael Vimmer is one we'll all have to get used to. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Ross McCormick and Roger Hanna.
Willkommen zur deutschen Ausgabe Super Scoreboard. Michael Vimmer ist der neue Manager von Motherwell. Celtic spielt morgen Abend in München gegen die Bayern.
As a real low point for the long proud history of this show. I see what you're doing. There's a real theme: Celtic in Munich, Motherwell with a German manager. We just got the road, Ross, and leave him to that. That was eye-opening, to say the least.
Auf Wiedersehen.
I mean, I was thinking seriously. That I haven't got anything like that whatsoever. I did play under a crazy German though, Felix Magath, so I've got a little bit of experience of the Germans.
Brilliant. But seriously, Roger, Mondays are always busy because you've got a weekend to look back on. It was a weekend full of talking points. This time tomorrow, Celtic pretty much will be in the stadium and raring to go against Bayern Munich. We've got a new manager in the Premiership, so it really is all happening.
It's been a manic Monday. Normally Mondays are sort of quiet days, but this time you're not going to get a better day on a Monday than previewing Celtic in the Allianz Arena against Harry Kane, Jamal Musiala, Michael Olise. You're not going to get a better day than a Premiership team, in this case Motherwell, announcing a new manager, one that, let's be honest, boys, we hadn't really heard of. And that's before we look back on a Rangers win at Tynecastle and St Mirren getting back into the top six with that point against Hibs.
Lots to get through, Ross. Good weekend over the piece.
Yeah. Listen, I'm interested to see what the Rangers fans' reaction are. We heard last week about how Philippe Clement felt as if they didn't deserve to lose that game, having all them shots on goal. Well, if you look at the game yesterday, if you go on what he said last week, then they probably didn't deserve to win yesterday. So it'll be interesting to see the reaction from that.
We'll answer the man, Rangers fans, 01419511025. What do you take away from yesterday? We've spent a whole week, a very long week for you, I'm sure, in the aftermath of Queen's Park, where some people said the game at Tynecastle, it doesn't matter, nothing can happen, can't pull it back from here. But at the same time, you'd much rather win than not, because there would have been a whole host of negativity on here tonight had you not. So how much encouragement do you take from getting back to winning ways, if any? What was good about it? What did you like about it? Or, like Ross says, Philippe Clement last week was talking about the performance not matching the result. Did the performance match the result yesterday? I suspect we'll get a wide range of takes on that, because winning football games is a good thing. Let's not forget that. But clearly there is a lot going on at Rangers. So how do you feel after yesterday? Hearts fans, you can weigh in on that as well. Celtic fans, this is one of your final chances. Munich tomorrow, can you do it? How are you set up? What's that front three going to look like? A very routine professional victory against Dundee United at the weekend. How does that set you up? Give us a call right now, please. 01419511025. And it's been quite a long wait by modern standards, Motherwell fans. Michael Vimmer, you've all done your research today. I'm absolutely certain of it. So are you happy or not with that appointment? Give us a call right now, 01419511025. And to set the scene for you from the weekend, go on then. What was your result of the weekend?
Hey, sorry, Gordon. It has to be Ross County at Fir Park. 3-0, 4 away wins out of 5 in the league for County after going, I think, 15 months without one.
Ross, your result of the weekend?
I'll probably go Aberdeen. You know, back to winning ways in the Premiership. Dundee away, it's always a difficult place to go. I thought they were worthy of it too.
Okay, don't mind those choices. What I don't envy you in is the goal of the weekend department. Oh. Serious options this week. Ross, you first.
I'm going to have to give it to Adam Eder. I think to control that in a half volley the way he did, I thought he's, if I'm being super critical, probably his touch maybe got a yard away from him than he wanted it to, but to control that in a half volley and put it in the top corner was sensational.
I think I can beat that. What about Topi Keskinen of Aberdeen?
Unbelievable.
I've not been particularly impressed with Topi Keskinen in his time at Aberdeen, but if he can produce that every now and again, then it'll be worth the £800,000 that they forked out to get him.
Honestly, so many options across the weekend. Maybe Bobby Wales, you'll get to him. Was it the Did you see, was it Matty Grant? Was it, what was it for First and Rar at the weekend? Have you seen that?
I have seen it. Well, Ross was showing me before the game. I'm pretty convinced he didn't mean it.
Oh, that's cynical of you. Anyway, howler of the weekend. Who are we going? Who are we sledgehammering?
Well, I'd watched a bit of St Mirren versus Hibs yesterday. Wasn't it a classic, I have to say? And when I got up out of my chair, Alassane Amani wasn't even on the park. And in the time it took me to go around the house and do a couple of things, he had come on, he had been booked, and he had been sent off. I think it lasted 13 minutes of his debut. That is not the kind of entrance to the Premiership you want to make.
Was he not hard done by?
No.
On the second booking? No.
No, no. If you're on a booking, don't do that.
Okay, Hibs fans, you want to argue with us on that, please do. Ross, who was your howler of the weekend?
It's going to have to be McCart at Hearts, I think. Scoring two own goals. And by the way, he was very, very close to hat-trick. I don't think he would have wanted the ball after that.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's obviously an element of bad luck and so on, but it's so rare. We can't not have a guy that scores two own goals in one game.
Yeah.
Can we?
And by the way, what about Gordon DL's stat on Saturday? Did you hear this one, Ross?
No.
When Rangers suffered that horror defeat to Berwick in 1967, the next game they beat Hearts. When they lost at home to Hamilton Accies in 1987, the next game they beat Hearts. And Dan said, when they lose to Queen's Park, the next game they'll beat Hearts.
How's he found that one out?
No, Derek Ferguson told him, apparently. Yeah. He's been outed.
Yeah.
I think even Andy Halliday's mother outed him for it, based on information that's received that's come my way.
He's always at it, isn't he?
Where did that leave us? Man of the weekend, top man, top performer.
Being a striker myself, I have to go Hale at Ross County. Oh, okay. Two good finishes, can't really look past a double.
You touched on him, Gordon. Bobby Wills, come on, like the first touch and the finish against St Johnson, fantastic. And out of contract in the summer, still to decide his future. We're fascinated to see how that goes.
Come on then, 01419511025. What are you thinking tonight? Yesterday, Tynecastle, Rangers fans, what did you make of it? I've seen such interesting arguments about this on social media all night, because clearly winning football games is a good thing. It's what everybody sets out to do, and it is far better than losing football games. So in that regard, can you take positives from yesterday? Is the situation so far gone that you don't really take much away from yesterday? Or do you even go the other way and are still concerned about some of the chances Hearts had and the level of performance within the game? I've seen all sorts of opinions represented, so why not give us yours right now on 01419511025. That is the number that you need, so give us a call right now. Celtic fans, it doesn't get much bigger than Bayern Munich away in the Allianz, ahead of a Champions League knockout tie second leg. We will be live to Munich later on in the show. We'll tell you what Brendan Rodgers had to say in his press conference, so give us your thoughts right now as well. That should be a really intriguing game, Roger, because it clearly, you wouldn't grudge Celtic fans that the hope of going and causing an upset, and then at the same time, you know that level of opposition, that all can get away from you very quickly.
Yeah, absolutely. But listen, strip it back. If you'd said to Celtic fans at the start of the season, you're going to get through this new look group stage of the Champions League, you're going to get in to a playoff tie for the last 16, you're going to take on Bayern Munich, and when you go to the Allianz Arena for the second leg, it's going to be balanced at 2-1. You're going to have a chance. Now, I'm old enough, Gordon, to remember Raith Rovers taking the lead in Munich against Bayern. So it's not out with the realms of possibility. Celtic can score first. And if they do that tomorrow night, then it's game on. I understand. Listen, the glass half empty chairman, Hugh Evans, feels the worst for them. But let's give them a chance.
Don't forget the stadium that Raith Rovers scored in, though, is the same one that Gordon DL ziplined across during the Euros. So it has seen some sights, that place.
Absolutely.
Him being sick was clearly a real low point of my life, never mind career. But let's bring in Sean, who's a Celtic fan, first up. Sean, what do you think then tomorrow? Can it be done?
I don't see why not. Do you know what I mean? You've got to be optimistic. I don't think a lot of people would have thought we'd have been able to get kind of the opportunity to go into the second game with a chance to go through. So I think we've proved some people wrong there. But I am optimistic. I mean, you saw the end of that game there. We can hurt them. I think all we need to do is make that tweak in the team where you bring Jota in from the start, and if he gets tired, you just bring him off. But I'd like to see him start on the left and either through the middle, because puts more problems to them, asks more questions, and then obviously his closing down, I think it'll be really infectious having it straight from where he like normally plays in the left wing.
Do you mean Maeda through the middle? I think you said Ida.
Yeah. No, sorry, Maeda.
Through the middle, right. I was just, yeah, what do you think, Ross? What would your front three be?
I'd agree with that. I think Maeda's got to play through the middle. If you remember last week, Gordon, I sat here on the Wednesday night, and that's what I was getting at. See that 20-25 minute performance from Celtic in the second half? That's what I was saying that I wanted to see. I wasn't saying that we need to be gung-ho and get after Bayern Munich and, you know, flood forward without a plan, really. But that, as Sean said there, I think that spell in the second half showed that Celtic can get at them and they can make chances. Now, you're totally right when you say, I think the big thing is that Celtic need to score first. If they concede early, then I'm afraid it could be a long, long night for them.
Roger, three positions available to four good and in-form but different players. A big decision for Brendan Rodgers to make.
It is a big decision for Brendan Rodgers. I know what Sean means. You know, you've got Jota, Maeda, Nicholas Koen on paper. It looks swashbuckling for a front three. But the reality of it is, I wonder if you might go for Aramida. You know, in Atalanta, when it was 0-0, Ida led the press from the front, defending from the front. Away at Aston Villa, Aramida pinched a couple of goals. And Jota, wonderful talent, no he is. Wonderful goalie, scored against Dundee United at the weekend. But does he give Greg Taylor the same coverage in front that Dyson Maeda does when he plays ahead of Taylor? I just wonder if Brendan Rodgers might start Maeda, mm-hmm. Ida, Koen, and then depending how the game goes, he might swap out Ida for Jota as the game goes on.
Yeah, is there a case to say, Sean, that you can try and do what you did last week? Because you never know. Elise might not bang one into the top corner from outside the box. You hopefully won't switch off as badly as you did for the second goal. So you do that, you stay in the tie, and then you flick that switch. You go, what happened last week, you know, Jota on, Maeda through the middle. You go and try and win the game from there. Is there a case to say that actually it was Celtic sort of lapses last week that made them 2-0 down rather than some sort of tactical failure?
So I'd say, good question. Obviously, Roger makes a really good point. You really do. But I feel like we've seen it now. We've seen what Ida can do against Bayern Munich. I think it's only fair to give us the opportunity to see what we can do starting with Jota out there, Maeda. I think that honestly, if we don't start with that, we'll never know what could have been. And then the game could be gone by the time you get a Jota on at 60 minutes. And by that point, I think a lot of people wouldn't be happy with the decision. Obviously, I know that he did have some good results, and I'm a big fan of Adam Ida. I think he's been excellent for Celtic, but we've seen him play a majority of the game against Bayern Munich. It'd be nice to see the other way around now, just to see what happens, because if we wait too long, and it's like a stick or twist situation, you could be shooting yourself in the foot, and by the time Jota comes on, we could be 2-0 down, and then you're facing something that's impossible.
It's a good point, because obviously what the hypothetical scenario I put, Roger, can be flipped completely the other way, where you say, well, last week you used Daizen Maeda, you were hoping that he could track back and provide that cover, and that was all in place, and then you were 2-0 down anyway. So listen, I think you can probably spin it both ways.
Of course you can. Listen, I think Sean and the Celtic board would love two Daizen Maedas, one at centre forward and one in the left wing, if you like, but you can't have that. I just think, for the reasons that we already said, I think part of it is defensive discipline, if you like. You know, Greg Taylor knows what he's going to get when it's Maeda in front of him. I think it'll be less sure when Jota's in front of him. And you know, of all the wonderful attributes in Jota's game, charging back to help out his left back isn't necessarily high up in that list. And I wonder if Brendan Rodgers will feel more comfortable in a more disciplined shape with Ida up top and Maeda on the left, get a foothold in the game. By the way, if the game's 0-0 after 65 or 70 minutes, Celtic will feel they're very much in it. And then you could look to maybe get through the gears.
It's a great dynamic, though, because, I mean, you'd imagine Celtic need to score first. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think that's fair. Do you know what? When I was watching the game last week, I didn't actually realise how big, strong, imposing Bayern Munich actually were. Did you see them from set pieces? They were a big, big team. I'm going to say something that might not go down too well with the Celtic fans. I think if Maeda's going to play through the middle, which means you're going to lose the importance of Ida in both boxes, set pieces, I would be interested to see what people think of, and understand Taylor's been good this season, but I think Schlupp at left back for his pace and his power, and to help out in set piece situations, which I think will be, which I think will be big in the tie. I'd be interested to see what people think about
that. Sean, I feel sure of also got a text with Hugh Keevan saying he would start Yang.
Of course he would. Sean, what do you think to that point?
Honestly, I think Shook looks okay, but there's something about the way he plays. I don't know if it's obviously don't even know having the match sharpness, same as Jota. He seems a bit sloppy, and every time I've seen him come on, he's done as equally good as he has a wee bit sloppy with like passing and stuff. And if you do that against Bayern Munich, you're not going to have a chance to recover because they're just going to go up and score straight away. We gave them a sniff in the first half and they scored for it, a sniff. If you do that, it's the same situation. You could be going in at half-time 2-0 down. He does look strong and physical. He would be good at set pieces. But is it worth the risk of somebody coming in that's not played a massive amount of football and doesn't he really have a good... like? I don't think he's integrating into that team outstandingly well. I mean, you need a good couple of games. And I know that obviously I'm kind of being a bit of a hypocrite with Jota, but Jota's played for Celtic before, so it's a slightly different situation. There is some players in that team that have played with him before. They know how he plays.
Yep, you make some fair points, Sean. Thank you very much. It's 01419511025. Brendan Rodgers has spoken in Munich, so we'll do our live hit from Germany in the not too distant future. What about yesterday at Tynecastle, though, Rangers fans? How did you feel about it? I know that's quite a vague question, but there's a lot going on there. Do you take any positives? Can you take positives? How important was it to win? Is it beyond the stage where that is mattering too much to you? Just sum up how you're feeling after yesterday. And what did you make of the performance as well? We can talk through the game specifically. 01419511025, and we'll speak to you next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboards. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now. Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hannah and Ross McCormick are here on 01419511025. You can tweet us at Clyde SSB. We're looking ahead, of course, to Munich tomorrow. What about yesterday in Edinburgh? Rangers fans, how did you feel about it? Let's bring in William, who's a Rangers fan. William, was it good to get back to winning ways? Is it hard to get too excited at the moment? How would you sum things up?
Yeah, hello, Roger, Ross, and Gordon.
Hi, William.
Yeah, I was just coming on the night, right? I'm getting quite sick of every pundit you've got with a kind of maybe the Celtic persuasion, right? Or just a show in general.
Right.
Lamenting, come on. Well, maybe a minute, Gordon. Lamenting, come on. Lamenting, come on. At every angle. The man's not even getting a break. The first thing that Ross McCormick came out the night is, I wonder what Rangers fans are going to say about comments he made. He won the game. He won the game. See, on Friday, Gordon, you two Celtic men, panellists, comment on the Rangers.
Are we calling Scott Allen a Celtic man now, are we?
Well, he went to them. He's a traitor, my eyes.
Wow. Anything constructive to add? Or like, what did you make of the game yesterday? Things along that line?
I thought Hearts were the better team. The Rangers dug in and got the result, you know what I mean? We get two goals chopped off as well, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, but they were offside, but Hearts were the better team, I will admit. The Rangers won the game.
That's what I'm saying. Does it encourage you? What's your take on it? I can see all this stuff about people of a Celtic persuasion are lamenting Clement. William, I don't know what circles you keep, but by far the people who are most critical of Philippe Clement are the Rangers fans, obviously.
What do you mean by circles I keep, Gordon?
As in how many people you spoke to that are Rangers fans last week? They're the ones that are the most...
What do you mean? What do you mean circles?
I just mean which Rangers fans you speak to.
No, the Rangers fans I speak to are honest Rangers fans. They know Rangers are not playing well, right? They know Clement is getting a hard time. They know he's inherited the worst result, right?
Mm-hmm.
If that was sooner, Walter Smith, they inherited that result, they'd be under pressure as well, but they wouldn't get the sack. Just cut the man a bit of slack. You can't keep sacking managers. You've got to give the man to at least to the end of the season, and then we'll take it from there. You know what I mean?
What does he need to do to convince the majority of Rangers fans, William, that he's worth a go next season? Because there are supporters. I know the points you're making. They won yesterday at Tynecastle. But 13 points behind Celtic, out the Scottish Cup, didn't defend the League Cup. What does he need to do? I mean, if he took Rangers to what stage of the Europa League this season, if he took them to a quarter-final or a semi-final, does that buy him enough goodwill that he's allowed to rebuild again in the summer?
Roger, you've been in this business a long time, right? Rangers have been getting rid of managers for the last 3 or 4 years, right? And we're repeatedly building a team to try and get there, to try and match Celtic, right? And we're not doing it. We've not got the finances. We need to recruit better. But every time we get there, the manager's going through a rough spatch. If any manager in the last 3 years, we get rid of him, we have to start again. And Celtic's just gone further and further and further away. I think we could get to the quarter-final, at least to the Europa League, yes. And I don't know if that's success in your eyes.
Listen, it's interesting to see. Gordon spoke to me in the show on Saturday about this. I wondered if Clement would go after the Queen's Park game just because of the enormity of the result, and because, you know, it was 13 points behind, because, you know, they couldn't defend the League Cup, because he was already under fire for the away results in the first half of the season, if you like. So I understand both sides of the argument. He's had to cost cut since he's come in the door. Some high earners have gone out. He's bringing in players on less money. There wasn't the money there to sign Lyle Cameron in January. They are committed to paying money for Oscar Cortez in the summer. He may well lose some other high earners whose contracts are expiring in the summer. But, you know, for all the people who come on and defend him, there are Rangers fans out there who would like to see him gone.
I've just got one question on that, William. Why can't you keep removing a manager if he's not the right man to take the club forward in a lot of people's eyes? Why can't you remove him?
Well, see the point is, Ross, right? See, we've had Clement, Van Bronckhorst, Beale. They're building up teams, right? All the time they're getting their own players in, and when they get bad results, and because Celtic's get a better financial policy at the moment, right? We can't compete with it, right? And we're falling short. I thought we had a good crack at it last year. I'll give come on to his dues. But every time we get to a certain point, Rangers fans will come on here and moan about the team, moan about everything, moan about the manager. Sack him. Then we have to start again. That's my point, Ross. That's what I'm trying to get across.
Yeah, I'm just thinking, though, if you keep him to the summer and then keep him past that, you give him money to spend in the summer. What happens in 2 months after that if all of a sudden they decide that he's not the right man now? Now he's brought in another 4, 5, 6 players and you're left with a situation that you've had, as you just said, under Van Bronckhorst, under Beale, bringing all these players in, his own players, and then getting rid of the manager. Would you not do that before? Would you not get rid of the manager first before you give him some sort of transfer kitty to go out and buy more players?
See, the thing is, though, see this man, come on, he's not a dunce. He was a manager of Club Brugge and he was a manager of Monaco. He's managing high leagues. The man can turn it around, you know what I mean? He can do the business. At the moment, he's inherited the worst result. In my opinion, I agree with Roger, you maybe not survive that, but we cannot keep sacking managers. As a Rangers man, we cannot keep sacking managers. That's my point.
What does, see in your mind, William, what does turn it round look like? You know, you say he can turn it around. So what, like, you think he could win the league next season, or what does that look like?
Turning around, I mean, as he's going to be very competitive in the league next year, right? Very competitive. He's going to push Celtic all the way. You've just admitted yourselves, he's come into Rangers. Has he been promised everything when he first came? Like, getting players. I think he was given a bum deal when he first came in. He's no players in this January. I think the directors have got a lot to answer for that way. I think very competitive next year. We're in the Champions League in my eyes anyway. We'll win the qualifiers next year, that's for certain. Or we get to Europa League top seeds, that'll be it. But we'll be competitive in Europe. But we must be competitive against Celtic, yes. We must be.
Yeah, I mean, William, I think, is right on a couple of fronts, Roger, where he said, he just kind of outlined almost the facts, really, that Hearts were probably the better team yesterday.
Yeah,
the Rangers won. This is what I'm saying. I'm trying to get more of a kind of wider sense of what is it that's having an impact at the moment. Like, how much of an impact does the win have? How much of an impact does the performance have? Do people care? How much do they care?
I don't think the win yesterday has any impact whatsoever.
But it would have been a lot worse if they hadn't.
Of course it would be. If they beat St Mirren this weekend, I don't think that will have any great impact either. The financial gap to Celtic is enormous. And I think the majority of Rangers fans, all Rangers fans in fact, acknowledge that the financial gap is enormous. They acknowledge how difficult it is for the team to bridge that gap over the course of a season. I think what riles a lot of Rangers fans is the inability to beat Queen's Park. and the fact that they've lost at Kilmarnock and they've lost at Aberdeen and they've dropped points here, there and everywhere this season, I think if they could be more competitive next season by beating those teams, the teams with the far smaller budgets, and keep mm-hmm. within a distance of Celtic, then I think that would be better for Philip Clement.
Let's bring in Gav and thank William for his time. That was a pleasure, William. Gav is in Drumchapel. How's it going, Gav?
Thanks very much. Cheers for taking my call, guys.
What are you thinking tonight?
Purely, it's about William. I'm a Rangers supporter myself, but he's saying about all the fans getting on Clement's back. We've got a right to be. We're the ones that's actually we're going to the games, we're buying the shots, we're there to support the team, and the things are only going great for the team itself. Obviously, they're going to be getting on their back. But I think myself as well that I think Clement is only there the new because we are still in Europe, because he's lost the cup, he's lost the league, they're clutching at straws. So I think they're hoping he's going to drag a wee bit of money back in, hopefully for the next manager, unfortunately.
So you, basically, he's not the long-term manager for you? You don't think, there's just no way that that's the case?
Definitely not.
And then that is the bit that leads people to say, rightly or wrongly, but this is what sparks the reaction, well, what's the point then?
Yeah,
Roger, what is the point? If you know, in Gav's opinion, if you know he is never going to be there long term and he's not the man, what's the point?
Listen, I know the point you're making. We spoke on the show on Saturday. Is it a financial decision? Do Rangers have the financial wherewithal to sack the manager at the minute? Because you then have the expense of going and getting somebody else. It's a strange, difficult one to answer, mainly for the reason, Gordon, that we've never had any dealings with Patrick Stewart or Fraser Thornton before. They don't have a track record of sacking managers. They don't have a track record of backing managers. We don't know what Fraser Thornton and Patrick Stewart regard as an acceptable performance for a Rangers manager. Are they viewing Philip Clement's work in the 2 months since they've been in the door, believing that to be acceptable? Are they quite happy for him, as Philip Clement says, quite happy for him to charge on regardless? Are they going to back him as much as they can in the summer window, as Ross says, to get 4 or 5 or 6 players? Because, believe me, with the ones going out the door, that will be the minimum number that Rangers will need to get in the summer.
Well, we're sort of having the same discussions as we were last week. Let's bring it forward a bit, Gav, to this weekend. What did you make of the game? Did a win make any difference for you? Are you the type that says, well, it's all about the win? Or are you doing what Ross McCormick asked at the top of the show and saying, well, hold on a minute, Mr. Clement, last week you were saying the performance didn't match the result, so what about when it's the other way around yesterday? What jumped out from Tynecastle?
I think that the win was lucky because they didn't seem as if Hearts were the better team. And the amount of even Rangers and Celtic supporters that I've spoke to, obviously for the game the other day, Hearts were the better team. They should have scored a couple more by, and I don't know. It's just it's a strange one, because won the game, great, but it didn't feel like a win. It felt like a bit of loss, because we know where the league's gone.
Difficult one that, Roger, I think, because if things are good, it's perfectly fine to go to Tynecastle, which is a tough place, not be at your best, and win 3-1. By the way, this is the same Rangers team that has been battered all season because of how poor they are on the road. So they go there and win. But I also think Ross is probably right. That's where it's coming from, is Philippe Clement almost... Because I think he said it was a much better performance yesterday, didn't he? And the Rangers fans are obviously not agreeing with him.
And if there was a genuine title fight on, if Rangers were a point behind Celtic or a point ahead of Celtic, and they go to Tynecastle and they're second best and they come away with a 3-1 win, Rangers supporters would be euphoric about this today. Mm-hmm. But there's not a title fight on. They were 16 points behind when they kicked off at Tynecastle yesterday. They're out of both cups. They've just lost to Queen's Park in one of the most embarrassing defeats in 150 years. And they've seen Rangers win the game while being second best to a Hearts team that are ninth in the Premiership, Gordon. So the majority of Rangers fans, like Gavin, are looking at this with a degree of perspective and a degree of reality, and they're unhappy where their team sits today.
What was it about the performance, Ross, that wasn't quite at it yesterday for you?
I just thought it was quite lethargic, especially in the first half. It just looked as if they just couldn't get going. Cherny was pretty quiet. Hadji wasn't really offering much. I think one of the big things, and I've been a I've been a fan of your man Cyril Dessers this season. I like it when he plays. I think he gives Rangers a different dimension. I think when he plays, Egerman's get the freedom to go and sort of do whatever he wants, in a sense. Drop deep, collect the ball, turn and run at people, link the play. And I think he looks a far better player for that. But no, just energy. I didn't look a lot of energy in the team. But like you guys have both said, if there was a title fight on this year and they go to Tynecastle and win when they've not been playing well, everyone would be saying that's unbelievable character. But on the flip side of it, there probably would be a title fight if they could have done that throughout the season.
That's fair. What about the performance for you, Gav? What was it that was lacking?
Everything. I don't know. It's just it's like a combination of just training. I don't know if it's done with their training or whatever else. But even I think, going back to the Clement situation, we know we can't afford to get rid of him. We can't afford, Rangers can't afford to sack him. So I think he should take the high road and leave. It might sound a bit drastic, but
I don't think it sounds drastic. I just want, just people in life don't tend to walk away from big contracts.
I don't think there's very much chance of that happening.
That's just the way it works, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is that understandable?
Of course it is.
For being fair.
But you know, like, listening, I have a lot of Rangers fans have phoned this show in the last 8 days. Have sounded at the sort of end of their tether to a certain extent, Gordon. And you can understand why, but also you wonder how it's going to get any better. Some of the players have shown recently, Cherney, he's going to cost £6.75 million from Wolfsburg. I don't think Rangers are going to have that sum of money. Hadji, who's done well recently, I thought he was good and, you know, created a couple of own goals yesterday. He's out of contract in the summer. What's it going to cost to keep him at the football club? The top scorer, Dessers, you know, Ross is a fan of, Gordon Dalziel is a fan of, but he always seems to be, any time a transfer window opens, he seems to be sort of teetering at the exit door. Will he go as well? So what will that area of the pitch look like for Rangers next season? And do they have the money to replace the ones who are going out?
Thank you very much to Gav. Again, some fair points well made. 01419511025. We are going to go live to Munich when we return. So Celtic fans, get your thoughts in. Let me run this past you first.
Oh my God.
Win £375,000.
Brilliant stuff, man.
Yes, our latest cash competition is here and it's worth £375,000. Text YES to 61025. Text or 250 plus your standard network rate. You can enter on our website for 250 or call 0330 880 4523, and the calls are charged at a standard rate. It is over 18s only, and all the rules for this Rail Network competition are on our website. Now don't miss out. The lines close 5pm on Friday. You just answer the call and the £375,000 is yours. So text YES to 61025.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Head to @ClydeSSB on X now. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hanna and Ross McCormick are here. It's 0141 951 1025 to get in touch on the phones. We've had a real mixed bag so far. We were looking back on Tynecastle yesterday, Rangers fans. So what did you make of it? The performance, the result, what, if anything, it means for the bigger picture. Do give us a shout. We are about to delve into Celtic tomorrow, so good time for you Celtic fans to get in touch as well. Let's cross live to Munich and check in with Gabriel.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard's coverage of the European knockout rounds with the Drake Neighbourhood Gastro Pub. Watch live sports in the West End of Glasgow.
Gabriel, they have let you back after we spent a few weeks there in the summer. It's good to see you back in Munich. How's it been?
Yeah, good evening, Gordon. From a freezing cold Munich here in southern Germany. As you say there, a few Scotland fans may still be having nightmares about this stadium after the summer, but Celtic supporters are hoping to make memories that last a lifetime. They're, of course, trying to turn around that one goal deficit after 2-1 loss in Glasgow last week. I've been speaking to many of the thousands of Celtic fans that are over here, and they're all asking the same thing. Will it be Adam Eder or Dyson Mader who lead the line here on this pitch tomorrow night? And it was a question we just asked Brendan Rodgers, just spoke to him inside the Allianz Arena. Keeping his cards close to his chest around team selection, I think a lot of it will come down to what kind of tactics he decides to go with. Will Rodgers, knowing that his team are a goal down, go all out, attack early doors, try and score a goal or two, perhaps even try and rattle the home support? Or will he try and stay in the game for as long as possible and then a sucker punch on the counter-attack late in the game? And Rodgers did say it's all about finding that balance between the two. Players must play with no fear despite this intimidating arena. He said that they know if they play to their top level, they can hurt anyone on their day.
Clearly, we won't be the favourites for the tie, but everything is possible. And I think the goal that we scored brings a different view of the game. Totally, you know, coming in at 2-1 and 2-0 is there's quite a big difference. So, but yeah, we know that over the two legs, we'd have to play really well to come through. It's a beautiful pitch. The arena's amazing to come and play in. We want to make sure we leave everything out there on the field, and anything that's possible in the game, you know, anything can happen, and hopefully we can go and produce a performance that gives us the result in the end.
I think Gabriel, based on, I was at Celtic Park for training this morning, and it looked like everyone else was fit and available, so just those tactical choices for Brendan Rodgers. Is it safe to say one of the biggest pieces of team news coming out of the build-up to this game might actually be for the hosts?
Yeah, Gordon, I was speaking to Vincent Kompany, the Bayern manager, earlier at Sabanerstrasse, their training ground, and he refused to confirm or deny if Harry Kane will be playing tomorrow night. Now, Kane got a facial injury in Saturday night's 0-0 draw against Bayer Leverkusen. Kompany himself admitted that it was a smokescreen he's putting up. But then we put it to Brendan Rodgers, do you think that Harry Kane will play? And he said, having managed down the Premier League for many years, he has no doubt that Kane, even if half fit, will be starting a game of this size. But Kompany himself also very complimentary about Celtic, even if he doesn't know how they'll approach the game.
Many things can happen in a game. I think for my side, we always have the idea to prepare for both. What if they sit back? What if they press? But then it's all the things in between that can decide a game as well. So we just want to be mentally ready. It's the same for us in every game as it is for Celtic in every game back home. I think the expectation for Celtic back home is that they have to win every game, that the emphasis is on them making the difference. And it's the same for us.
Anything else surrounding this game, Gabriel, that we need to know? It feels like it's just everyone knows the balance for Celtic. Clearly it can be done. They wanted the tie to stay alive, but clearly there's a massive chance as well that Bayern put their foot to the floor and go through as many would expect them to do.
Yeah, Gordon, most of the supporters I've been speaking to are saying they don't want a repeat of Dortmund. Many of them were over there, also here in Germany, back in October, that 7-1 game where Celtic just collapsed. But if you look at Celtic's away games since then, they seem to have learned their lesson. You've got that Atalanta draw, Dinamo Zagreb as well. They look a lot more solid and almost playing more reserved, which is what many supporters have been asking Celtic to do for years. So I think that's the approach that Brendan Rodgers will go with tomorrow. You've just got to remember, going back to the game last week, if you're interested in these stats, Celtic had a higher XG than Bayern Munich. So they were actually quite good defensively. They did let Kane free from that corner and Elise with a great strike. But they've really got to try and limit Bayern's attacking threats. And then with the pace on the counter-attack of Dyson Mader, Nicolas Kuhn, and perhaps Jota as well, try and sting them and cause a massive upset here, Gordon.
Speaking of massive upsets, I heard you had a bit of a sore tummy on the way to the Celtic press conference. There's some people in the media colleagues that have done you in and said you had a bit of an emergency. So I hope you're feeling okay. I want you to return fit and healthy for us next week, okay?
Listen, you know you were here with me for 2 weeks. You never know when that emergency toilet roll is going to come in handy.
Whoa, there's oversharing at dinner time. Magnificent. We'll move on swiftly before we get taken off air or put anyone off their dinner. I thought I was just going to allude to it and leave it kind of, you know,
leave it hanging, so to speak.
So to speak.
Yeah.
He's just gone and confirmed the full thing. Great.
Well,
brilliant.
Remarkable. I've another text for Hugh. Two questions. Number one, what's XG? And number two, can you make sure Gabriel brings his jacket back?
It's freezing over there in Munich, so we're looking forward to it. Let's bring in Lee, who's on the line. How are you, Lee?
Not so bad, yourself?
Not bad, Lee. What are you thinking ahead of tomorrow, then?
I'm thinking he'll have the same starting lineup as last week. For the reason is, a lot of players pick themselves, really. Like, you're always going to have Schmeichel, Carter Vickers, I think Frosty, with his pace, you're going to have him in defence. Taylor, you know what you're getting there. And AJ, you're going to get them on the left and right back. The midfield, I think Paulo Bernardo's going to be a miss later on in the game, because we can bring him on when Rio, Hatate or Engels gets tired. I think it'll be Engels, Hatate and Carl McGregor, obviously. And I think what he did last week, and I think he'll do the same this week, is you're going to have Maeda and Kuhn out in the wings. They're great at counter-attacking, but I think Mark Wilson said the other day that Maeda is great at like tracking back and help defend, which is what Celtic will need tomorrow night, and leave like a target man either up front. Now, if Ida's having a bad game, or Kuhn's having a bad game, you can say, right, I'll take Ida off, Maeda in the middle, Jota on the left. If Kuhn's having a bad game, he may put Maeda there, or even Jota. He's played there in the past as well for us. So he might put him out in that wing, Jan out in the left, and Maeda through the front. Kind of depends what kind of game, I think, Kuhn and Ida are having. And then he'll bring on accordingly, and then tweak the front from there.
I think people who see it the other way, Lee, just go for the simplest logic, in that Celtic were at their best last week when Maeda was through the middle. Do you see any positives in doing it that way, or basing it on that argument?
I totally get that, but I think that's when you're going to chase the win. But I think it's important to keep us in the tie, which is why I think Maeda might be out in the wing to track back. And have Ida, it's been shown that Ida, give him a chance, he will score. If you put Kuhn and Maeda on the wings, if they can counter-attack and put a ball into him, they'll score.
I think
that's it.
Saturday Ross would have been beneficial for Jota. And a couple of, firstly, just simply he played, he got more minutes, he's not played loads of football recently, and he scored. So I know it's an entirely different proposition against Bayern, but it does no harm.
Does no harm, no. But going back to the Ida or Maeda through the middle, I think I said last week that there was probably a conversation had when Kyogo left the building between Rodgers and Adam Ida. Now it's your time to shine. You're going to be the number one striker. And I think since then, there's only been a few weeks past, I don't think he's done anything wrong. His goal tallies came up. It looks as if his hold-up play, his touch, awareness, everything's sort of getting better. So I kind of expect the same as Lee, to be honest. I think it'll be the same team for that reason. I don't think Ida's done anything wrong. And I think probably different to what I was saying before the game last week in terms of I think the first 25, 30 minutes of this game is going to be key.
Thank you, Lee. Oh, sorry, Ross. Thank you very much to Lee. Let's move on because we're about to play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Come on then, it is Beat the Pundit time. It's your chance to win a signed ball, get some bragging rights. It's a real interesting dynamic in here. Ross McCormick still not really comfortable with the whole Beat the Pundit process, and he's next to the master.
Huh. -2 is not conducive to being called that.
It is a huge news. A gentleman in the sauna of all places this morning turned round and told me he thought it was grossly unfair on that Hannah guy, whatever. that he's on -2.
Oh, well, listen, there's a body building behind me. You know, was it not the Celtic goalkeeping staff you said a couple of weeks ago? Now people in your sauna.
There you go. Listen, this is the talk of the town. The steamy,
as long as Gabs isn't spotted in your sauna, you're steamy in his current state.
Staying away from him. Anyway, 01419511025. Lines close at 7.
Clyde One Super Scoreboards. Watch as well as listen. Check out the Clyde One Facebook page now. You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hanna and Ross McCormick are here. Why not give us a call between now and 8 o'clock on 01419511025? Because, to be quite honest, you are spoiled for choice topics wise. Of course, we are live in Munich. From Gabriel, we heard from him looking ahead to that game tomorrow. So Celtic fans, how are you feeling? What about Edinburgh yesterday? Rangers fans, how do you feel? There's just been so much said about where the club is, where the manager is. Does a win yesterday do anything for you? Did the performance sway you either way? I don't know. Sum it up for us, how you look back on yesterday's match. It was a 3-1 win. at what can be a tough venue. And where are you Motherwell fans? I was expecting some reaction to that manager, Michael Wimmer, 44-year-old German, Austria Vienna was his previous club. He is clearly in situ to try and bring through young players. He says he wants the team to press high and press quickly. Can he do that with that current team he's got? Give us all your reaction to that appointment, please, and we'll play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
A genuinely history-making night on Beat the Pundit, a first. This competition's been going a long time, and we've had the first ever where a pundit has asked me during the break to go on plus one. So we know Roger Hanna starts on minus two. He used to be minus one. Ross McCormick dreads this so much, he wants the handicap to go in his favour. He wants a plus one. I've still got hope for you.
That was a private conversation.
Five, there's no such thing. Five defeats in a row. If you get to five defeats in a row, we'll think about it. But I think you're okay. Well, you've only got two, do you not?
Two, yeah.
That's fine. Plenty of time to worry about that. Paul is on the line. How's it going, Paul?
Hi, Gordon. You've put a bit of pressure on me if I get Ross in this.
Exactly.
So
see?
It can work both ways.
It can work both ways. Heads, it will be Ross McCormick. Tails, it will be Roger Hanna, who, despite his protests, is still minus two for now. I can see the tension in here.
I'm not Hearts going as well.
It's a head, says Ross McCormick. Oh, I'm worried for him.
Paul's buzzing.
Am I? I don't know. Let's find out, right? What we'll do is usual drill where we give Ross something else to listen to, and that way he can't hear Paul's attempted answer. So, Paul, you have 30 seconds. Answer as many as you can. You are allowed to pass. You don't have to give an answer. You can pass and move on to the next one, okay?
Yep.
Right.
Already.
Your time is on the clock, and the 30 seconds starts now. Ian Cathro currently manages in which country?
Spain.
Who is Rangers' top league scorer this season?
Bessels.
Who is currently the youngest manager in the Scottish Premiership?
Pass.
Which former footballer is the dad of Hearts defender Jamie McCart?
Michael McCart.
What is the name of the Cypriot international that plays for St Mirren?
Pass.
Name any championship side that has a lion on their badge.
Gordon.
Okay. Ross McCormick, can you hear us?
Yeah, I was just looking at the clock. It looks a little bit longer than 30 seconds.
Who do you think you are, Gordon DL? How do you know when I started?
I don't actually.
Exactly. Right, see, yeah. Okay. If there's one man not to follow on this show, it is him. Okay, let's go. 30 seconds on the clock. Your time starts now. Ian Cathro currently manages in which country?
Germany.
Who's Rangers' top scorer in the league this season?
Egerman.
Who's the youngest manager in the Scottish Premiership?
Pass.
Which former footballer is the dad of Hearts defender Jamie McCart?
Chris McCart.
What is the name of the Cypriot international that plays for St Mirren?
Pass.
Name any championship side in Scotland has a lion on their badge?
Raith Rovers.
How many non-Scottish managers are currently in the Scottish Premiership?
Four.
Okay. Paul, have you done enough?
Oh, I hope you're not giving me that Eggman one. You said Cherney there, Ross. I'm sorry.
I think Cherney. So you want me to put Cherney down as his answer, Paul?
Oh no, hold off for now.
Let's see how it goes. We could have a bit of an issue on that one. Right, Ian Cathro, Roger Hanna.
Portugal.
And none of you got
all
it.
Right.
We do have a problem with this question, Paul. And I think you've seen it coming. I think I made it too obvious. I do always say I need to accept your first answer. Yeah,
you do, Gordon.
Always been the rule.
You do.
Right.
Ross said Cherney Eggman. So I have to accept.
Did you finish Cherney off though?
Hold on a minute. Paul, you wanted it taken off him a minute ago. You said I wasn't allowed to give him Eggman. Oh. Now you can't give him Cherney. I do think I need to give him Cherney. I think he's very lucky.
Yeah.
I think it's the equivalent of one going in off his backside that he knows nothing about.
We'll take it.
But I think if
he's probably top goal scorer, I say though.
In the league, he is. Cherney is, yeah.
Okay.
So that's the thing. I do genuinely, because yeah. I would see if that was the other way round and it was Gordon DL, I would take it off him if he said the wrong one first. Okay, 1-0 to Ross. The youngest manager in the Scottish Premiership is David Gray. 36, I think, is it?
Right.
What would you have gone, Roger? No?
You know something? I was going to say Don Cowie, and I think I was only going to say that because I noticed he was 41 the other day. It was his birthday.
David Gray still needs 30s anyway. So good. Okay, it's still 1-0. Which former footballer is the dad of Hearts defender Jamie McCart? It is Chris. 2-0. Incidentally, Paul, I think Michael is the brother. I think there's a brother. Jamie McCart's brother is called that. But anyway, that's by the by. It's Chris McCart. 2-0, sorry, to Ross. Alex Gogic is the Cypriot who plays for St Mirren.
I knew who it was, didn't know the name. I knew who it was.
I was worried about you, Paul. I thought you were going for a zero, and I'm always on the listener's side, so I don't like it when the listeners get zero. However, you got Livingston for a Lion on the badge, but Ross got Raith Rovers, which is also correct. And not that it matters, there are now eight non-Scottish managers: Clement, Rogers, Tilleen, Critchley, Robinson, Goodwin, Valakari, and
Michael Vimmer.
Michael Vimmer. So there we go. Paul, it was not enough. Ross, congratulations. Finally, the first win on the
board.
There
needs to be some sort of triumphant that, music.
What the Champions League music. Where is it? See, we usually keep that for when a pundit gets 10, but on this occasion, we're just using it for your first win. Paul, talk to me about your team anyway then. Rangers, what if anything, did you take away from yesterday?
Well, I don't know if you guys heard the well done Ross, by the way. If I lost to anyone, I'm happy to lose to Ross.
Thank you.
Just to say, I don't know if the guys heard the Celtic comments maybe about a week ago. Now, he's obviously going to defend Clement, no country man and everything else, but he'd made 2 points that kind of, don't know, stuck in my throat as a Rangers fan. Firstly, he said, it was after the Queen's Park game, he said, no, if you look back, you've just got to look at the quality of the opposition in the day. And I'm just thinking, like, no disrespect to Queen's Park, but come on, look, we're not playing Real Madrid here. Secondly, he came out and he said, you've just got to think, the fans, the Rangers fans have got to think where, how far Rangers were behind when Clement came in. Well, we're actually further behind, I would say, performance and, no, kind of the way we're playing in the park, further behind when Clement came in. So, you know, I get you want to defend your countrymen and things like that, but his comments just didn't make sense to me. And for someone like Bissell, who's, you know, played in high quality Rangers teams, I was a wee bit surprised at that. I don't know if you guys seen it or have you heard about it or not.
I suppose the difficulty, Roger, with that direct comparison, because there's loads of kind of criteria you could use, but I think the difficulty, I suppose, with comparing now to then is that there has been an overhaul. I'm not saying this absolves Philippe Clement from blame, far from it, but the squad is different. Players had to leave, the wage bill had to come down, and players who are, I think two things can be true at once. Some of those players still had to leave. It was maybe the end of their time for whatever reason at Rangers, but it doesn't mean that they're easy to replace.
And like, it doesn't mean fans have to accept that either.
Sure, and that's what I'm saying.
They're seen at a time where the Celtic wage bill is going up and they're spending big and they're paying £11 million for Engels and £9 million for Ida, £6 million for Trusty, £8 million to bring Jota back. They're bringing back Kieran Tierney in a pre-contract and big wages. And Philippe Clement is saying his wage bill has had to come down by, what were the percentages he said in the interview yesterday? Was it 25% or something? I can't quite remember. I might be misquoting him. That's all well and good, but fans don't need to accept that. Fans want their manager to be able to produce on the park. Now, he might have a much reduced wage bill, but it's still bigger than Hearts or Hibs or Aberdeen. It's certainly bigger than Queen's Park. And I think where supporters, like Paul, get annoyed is that when the players still there, they're still quite handsomely rewarded, and yet they come up short several times a season.
Paul, on to yesterday specifically, what did you make of it? Can you take much away? Were there any lessons learned? Is it too late for all that stuff? I don't know. How do you feel about it?
I think every game, start to kind of motivate yourself for every game. Now, around February, it's effectively playing dead rubbers. You know, you could possibly say, look, if you beat Celtic twice and Celtic maybe slip up, depending how they do in Europe, fair enough. But, you know, I just, my worry is the defence. I think, I like the guy in Salah, if I'm saying that right. He seems to be, you know, a youth who could get developed. But see set pieces, Gordon, we're really bad. See corners and free kicks come in. We just can't defend. And it was a great goal the Hearts guy scored. He found the space and whatnot, but he shouldn't be really finding that much space in the box. I worry about that. You know, we'll get caught out in Europe with that. Defensively, not great. Up front, I think Igaman, Cherney. I like maybe having Dessus on there. Bashirami worries me. I think he's quite a luxury player, what the guys think. But there's some positives to draw. And listen, it's more than just Clement.
there's a lot of issues you just highlighted there about the wage demands and everything else coming down. But there's something. My worry, Gordon, is I've supported Rangers for a long time, and I've seen us through the highs and I've seen us through lows as well under Le Guin and people. But what worries me, and I don't know what Ross and Roger think there, but I worry we're going down the route of becoming the Borussia Dortmund of Scotland, in the sense that we are accepting second best, because not to mention, for the board not to mention anything about Queen's Park, wouldn't have happened under the days of David Murray or if Walter Smith and people that were there, it wouldn't have happened. But for radio silence to happen after that, we are accepting that we're going to get beaten games at us. So that, to me, as a Rangers fan, is unacceptable. I don't know what you guys think, but that's what I'll kind of lie with it.
Listen, Paul, I've got to agree with you. I mean, well, when you talk about radio silence, it's probably hard for the board and people within the club at Rangers to come out and say what seems to be the truth and that they can't afford to sack him, because that would just send out the complete wrong message. So I think the other option was radio silence. I don't think there was anything that they could have said after that game which would have made Rangers fans feel any better. So I kind of agree with the club and how they dealt with that. But Clement's a strange one for me. He's like people are saying, he has shown that he can sort of turn it around, as he done last season. But at the end of the day, when push comes to the shove, Rangers should have won the league last year. They were favourites to win the league at one point and they blew up. And then you've got all the catastrophes away from home this season. And then what happened against Queen of the South?
Queen's Park.
Sorry, Queen's
carried away with your beat the pundit victory.
Yeah, you're right. No, I just don't see how it gets any better, I'm afraid, with this man in charge. I'm sorry,
Roger. I don't think there's any such thing as, you know, everything's completely out the window, or there are never any positives, and, you know, turn the lights out. Paul mentions in Siala, I know the Rangers won't be delighted with the goal they conceded, but did he show up pretty well yesterday?
I think he's shown up reasonably well since he's been put into the team. He was sort of put into the team, I think it was up at Dens Park earlier in the season, because there was no one else to put in the team, and he's come through and he's done okay. You know, very early in the season, Philip Clement said that both Bigaman and Nsiala were quite a distance away from the first team, but they've got the two of them up to speed and they look decent players who could perhaps help Rangers in seasons going on. And listen, you might get a bit of money for them in seasons going on, which would fit in with this transfer model that Rangers talk about. But I tend to agree that such was the magnitude of the defeat 8 days ago. I think the Rangers board owed it to their supporters to tell them what's happening. There are 50,000 paying customers there, most of whom are aggrieved and unhappy. They're about to ask those 50,000 people to spend an awful lot of money on season tickets for next season. I don't know whether the season ticket price is going up or not, but even if it doesn't go up, Gordon, those 50,000 people, call them supporters, call them customers, call them whatever you like, they would like to know what they're going to be forking out their money for next season. Are they going to be forking out to watch a Philip Clement team? Are they going to be forking out to watch a team that's managed by someone else? And what sort of money is available to purchase footballers that will improve the team that they're going to watch next season?
We often spend the full show on a Monday debating refereeing decisions. No one's called in about any yet. That makes me think that it was a quiet weekend, but whilst we're on the subject,
and Siala,
what did you think? Because obviously Rangers go and score quite soon after, which makes it even more interesting.
I'm going to say to you that not every contact is a foul. The only one I can liken it to, and it's not a great comparison, I have to say, in the build up to Liverpool's first goal yesterday, I think Wolves were aggrieved that Luis Diaz had sort of shoved the defender for the second goal. Luis Diaz had shoved the defender before he was cleaned out by the goalie. Not every contact's a foul. Yeah. That by Luis Diaz wasn't a foul, I wasn't convinced.
The problem is, Ross fans, that if you want to, you can do it the other way around. And loads of people saying, well, was it any different from the contact from Adam Montgomery in the Queen's Park Rangers game?
Don't think it was a penalty,
eh? In which Rangers got the penalty. Again, for your own sanity and for time purposes, you're probably better taking it in isolation. Should Hearts have felt aggrieved yesterday?
No, I don't think so. I tend to agree with Roger. Not every contact is a penalty. The thing is, it's it probably looks a lot stronger a push than it actually is. It's two hands on the back, and the fact that it then, you know, a few seconds later ends up in the back of their own net, that's where the aggrievement comes from. But for me, no, it wasn't strong enough to be a penalty.
Can you believe this? A former striker saying that's not a penalty?
No, unbelievable.
They kicked out the Strikers Union, Ross.
Thank you very much to Paul. We are going to speak about Motherwell's new manager when we return.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Head to at Clyde SSB on X now. 0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hannah and Ross McCormack are here on 0141 951 1025. Ross McCormack, former Motherwell striker. We'll take a look at their new manager in just a second. Let me quickly give you this teaser. It is absolutely brutal how hard this is, Ross. You are a victim of the fact that you're sitting next to this guy. So the hard questions get used on a Monday. So you are a fair assister in your time. You might need to try and assist him on a few answers here.
Pretend I'm Moussa Dembele for the evening. Get back to the Fulham days.
What strike partner did you have the best relationship with? Chris Porter for me.
Big Ports. Going back. David Clarkson.
What a front three.
Do you know who I really enjoy playing with? I don't know if you remember. There's a guy called Hugo Rodallega.
Mm-hmm.
Colombian. Just everything. Vision,
who
touch. Who
did you play with him against?
Fulham. First season at Fulham. Yeah, he was.
Who else did he play in England?
Wigan. He
yeah, that's Wigan right. Yeah, that would be who I would associate him with. Yeah. Anyway.
From Hugo Rodallega to Hugo Keevans.
Yeah. What a come down, honestly. Right, here's your question. The Crazy Pony sent it in. Wildly difficult. I've tweaked it a bit to try and make it easier even for you, but let's try. Since the year 2000, six former Old Firm players have been signed by a manager who's won the Champions League with a British team. That's all you're getting. So since 2000, six former Old Firm players have been signed by a manager who has won the Champions League with a British team. Now, he could have signed them anywhere, but the manager has won the Champions League with a British team.
Yeah.
Do you understand? Don't mean to patronise you.
Since 2000.
Okay. So it doesn't mean this player went to a Champions League winning team, but it means the manager that signed them has won the Champions League for a British team. And the players will have to be former Old Firm players.
Not sure of my time is whether it was 2000 or earlier. Andy Gorham signed by Sir Alex Ferguson.
No.
No.
Was that a loan anyway? Was that a short term thing? Anyway, don't worry about
that. Same with manager. When did you believe it? Liam Miller.
Yes. Okay, Liam Miller. So it's sometimes easier once you hear a working example.
Celtic to Man United, signed by Fergie.
In 2004, Liam Miller, former Old Firm player, was signed by Sir Alex Ferguson, who's a Champions League winning manager for a British team.
So what about, if I just throw one name here, you've got Xabi Alonso, who won the Champions League with Liverpool.
No, as a manager, sorry.
As a manager.
So you're thinking like Frimpong sort of. I see where you're going. You need to have won it as a manager. Right, I'll leave it with you.
I like that.
We have a new manager. Speaking of managers, he's not won the Champions League. We'll give him a couple of years. Michael Vimmer is the new Motherwell manager. So there's been a vacancy that's been there for a couple of weeks now. Stuart Kettlewell, as we all know, left. And it was the quietest managerial search ever. Very few real names or suggestions, apart from the obvious list that bookmakers will draw up and so on. And this has come out of the blue, safe to say. This morning, no one had really heard the name. 44-year-old German. He's been at Austria Vienna. He was a coach at Stuttgart, started at Nuremberg, and he's now in North Lanarkshire. Stephen is a Motherwell fan. How are you, Stephen?
It's amazing what a difference a few days can make, because I was adamant that I wasn't going to Dundee this weekend, and I've just got my ticket and booked the bus this morning. I'm excited for what I hear. I think if you look at Michael's time at Austria Vienna in particular, he's qualified for Europe there, implemented a philosophy and stabilised a club that were struggling financially. So I'm really excited. If you look at the stats as well, they were in the top four for XG, possession won in the final third, and I believe possession in general. So he's going to bring a different style to Stuart, but I'm really excited and really looking forward to it.
You two asked me when I came in about, you know, how I felt about it and so on. And I think these managerial appointments are, they're really fascinating, Roger, because when it is an an unknown, if you like, it almost gets met with a more positive reaction, I think, from fans, because you've not got much to hold against them either. And you put your faith, you know, you look into it, you put your faith in the good bits. And yeah. I think that's great. I think it's exciting. I think it's, people call it refreshing, and it's a bit different. If you hire someone who's been in our league before, well, your mother will. So you're getting someone who you've seen fail somewhere, probably. Do you know what I mean? Unless yeah. it was someone who was on the way up and you say, I didn't like the job he did there, or I didn't like the time he said this. So if Motherwell fans are being honest, they'd never heard of Michael Vimmer when they woke up. But now they've thought, well, do you know what? The club's clearly tried to think outside the box and get the best man, not just someone who's on the doorstep, not just someone who knows the league. So I think it's understandable why Stephen's excited. Whether it works or not, well, time will tell.
Well, listen, whether it works or not, it is a gamble.
But they all are, though, aren't
they? All managerial appointments are a gamble. My understanding is he was about to be appointed manager of Bristol Rovers in December and they couldn't get a work permit through. There's a slightly lesser criteria required to yep. work in Scotland than there is in England. Motherwell have got the work permits through for both Vimmer and his number two.
What's his number two's name again?
Ahmed Koch.
What, how are you probably pronouncing the surname?
Koch.
Okay, if you say so.
Yeah, I think it's a Turkish German derivative.
Sorry, I'll take your word for it.
Yes. He was in for the Sunderland job. I think he was close to getting the Sunderland job last summer when Regis Debris got it. He was highly rated in Germany. I believe Motherwell have taken soundings down south from people who have interviewed him for jobs there. They've taken soundings from clubs in Germany. They quite liked his CV. They very much liked the interview that he gave to the club. They believe he's a man to take them forward. And listen, I don't know whether Stephen will agree with me here. If you look at it, between now and the end of the season, I think he's got 12 games, Gordon. If he keeps Motherwell up, anywhere from 10th up, if he keeps them up, mm-hmm. that's a good job done. And I think then, you know, well, look, Fraser Bishop was at the game of the weekend. I think he mentioned there's 33 players in the squad. A lot of them are loan players who will go back. A lot of them are players who are out of contract and will go. Lennon Miller might be sold for a great deal of money, a club record fee in the summer, Gordon. So with all of that, I think there would be not quite a blank canvas, but certainly a reasonably clear canvas for Michael Vimmer to relaunch Motherwell in his own image for next season. But the key is keeping them up in these last 12 games.
Roger Hanna's newspaper are preparing a story that says former Motherwell star says X about managerial appointment. So come on, this is your moment to shine.
No, listen, I think Motherwell fans should be excited by this. I've seen a number of German managers over the years. I actually worked under one at Fulham, Felix Magath. I think he'll have them at it. He's already spoke about the high press, high energy. If he can get this group to buy into what he wants, then they could turn into a really good team again, Motherwell. It's going to be very difficult going on, looking at the sort of personnel that they've got at the club at the minute. It'll be definitely be difficult in the short term to turn them into a high-pressing, high-energy team.
I mean, Felix Magath did make people rub cheese on their injuries and stuff, though, didn't he? So hopefully we're not quite getting that level. Stephen, XG and possession, and it all sounds great, but for the last few weeks, all we've had is Motherwell fans on saying they're the most passive team in the league. They've got the lowest possession stats. They sit off teams more than any other. And the new manager gives an interview to Club TV today saying he wants them to be high tempo and fast pressing and all that. Can you do that? Can you flick a switch? Can this group of players do that?
It's going to take time, probably, but the thing is, he's not got much time, has he? Because we do need to start getting results. And I completely agree with Roger that staying up is the main objective. I think that he'll be able to get the best of them, and if he can get anywhere near the kind of a creativity that he got at Austria Vienna and the kind of a play in the front three that we've seen when Roscoe played, then I think we'll be on to something good, because what a front three that was.
Would you have been more excited by Mitchell van der Gag, Stephen? Come on, tell me.
Stephen?
He
got us.
He's more than I recognised, but again, I trust that the board have done their due diligence. What I'm hearing about Michael Vimmer, I like. He spoke about high intensity, he spoke about energy, and that is everything that was missing from the performance on Saturday. We were slow, we were tepid, We lacked creativity. So going to Dundee on Saturday, it's going to be interesting when we play Dundee United. And I'm hoping that we can take a big support, because there's been a lot of toxicity around the fan base. I'm just hoping that everybody can pull in the same direction and we can start winning games again.
And then it's Dundee at home the following Wednesday night. Is that right, Stephen? That has the potential in his first home game in charge to allow you to put a wee bit of distance again between you and those two relegation places.
Yeah. It's two winnable games before I believe we go to. We've got Rangers coming up as well. So I think that we really need to look at getting a result, particularly against Dundee at home. I'd take a point on Saturday, but mainly I think what I'm looking at is how we set up in the performance. If you can keep us up, then it's about building in the summer and him bringing in his own players. So not as exciting.
It's like every managerial appointment, Roger, has an element of short-term success versus long-term planning. 100%. I've got absolutely no doubt. Well, in fact, the club have alluded to it, but there was no doubt because of the fan ownership model, because of the financial situation of the club, the next manager was going to be the guy who could either display the best track record at bringing through young players or convince the Motherwell board that he was the best at bringing through young players. It was the way up the priority list.
Well, he does have a long history in youth development in Germany, most notably, I think, with Nuremberg. I believe he spoke at length with the Motherwell board about his ambitions to do this. If Motherwell are going to continue where they've been, Gordon, all your lifetime they've been in the top flight in Scotland, if they're going to continue to do that, they need money. How do they get money? Cup runs. Cup runs can be difficult, and you can't really budget for a cup run. You know, you might get drawn away to Celtic in the fourth round of the Scottish Cup. Makes it difficult. Sell players. Sell young players. In the past, they've sold David Turnbull for a lot of money. They will sell Lennon Miller for a lot of money. You might find a situation where they sell Ewan Wilson for a bit of money. But then they now need Michael Vimmer to keep that conveyor belt rolling and to make sure that the young lads beneath the first team at Motherwell get to a stage where they're able to play and impress in the first team at Motherwell and can then be sold on, because that's how Motherwell make themselves sustainable.
I don't think this is even close to exclusive to Motherwell, Ross. This is just the situation every club finds themselves in now, because you're not going to walk in and bring through young players on Saturday, right? And as Stephen said, you're probably not going to turn up and go from 30% possession to 70% possession. You know, a small number of presses to a high number. That just isn't going to happen. But you need results to get you the time to do the long-term stuff. That's where football's in such a difficult place at the moment with that, because big clubs, small clubs, medium-sized clubs, they want the project, they want long-term, but you don't get it if you don't win.
No, you're right. And you're definitely right to say that you do need results. But what you said there about you do need time, because you're not just going to flip a switch and go from one extreme to the other. I think I can only think back to when I was at Motherwell, and we switched pretty quickly, to be honest. From when Matt McGee came in, I think he probably had about 4 weeks with us pre-season. And I remember first game of the season, last game pre-season, we were a proper footballing team. Going from where we were the season before under Morris Malpass, no disrespect, but we were nowhere near what people seen on the pitch under Matt McGee. So it can be done, but you've got to try and implement it fast. And the main thing is that the players that are already in the building, forget about bringing young players and stuff, the first team players that are in the building just now, the most important thing is getting them to buy into it.
Is there enough in the squad, Stephen? There's certainly enough in terms of numbers. It's a big squad. It's a really big squad. I wonder if that as well also brings its own challenges in terms of trying to find quite quick solutions. Still got it, Stephen?
Yeah, no, I believe that there's enough in the squad. I really like the look of the boy Armstrong that's come in. Yep, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hello?
Yep, on you go.
Hello?
Oh, it's a heck of a delay in Cambus Lang or wherever he is. Let's park Stephen for now and see if we can get it cleared up and get back to it. I mean, that's going to be it depends if you're an optimist or a pessimist, Roger Hannah. Motherwell are as close to fifth, I think. They would be fifth if they had 4 or 5 more points. But if they'd 4 or 5 fewer points, they'd be in the relegation playoff. So
it's really, really tight. I mean, could you see an Aberdeen safe for the top six? probably
Dundee United,
probably Hibernian, though. You know, they've had a great run of 10 or 11 undefeated in the league. I'm not convinced that they're yet cemented in that top six. So anyone from there down
as well.
I mean, the Hearts played really well yesterday, but lost the game. So, you know, who is going to emerge? The head-to-heads are going to be crucial. You know, you look at Ross County versus Dundee on Saturday, 10th versus 11th. That is, for me, the first relegation six-pointer of this season, because whoever loses that game is back in bother in the playoff place. And there's going to be one or possibly two of those games every week now before the split, Gordon.
But that's the thing, Ross, it is so tight. And that was a really, really bad home result for Motherwell at the weekend. So they need to hope that there is a quick impact, a bounce or whatever, and then of course put these kind of longer term things in place.
Yeah, that new manager bounce is exactly what they're going to be hoping for, isn't it? I think looking at all the sort of teams round about the bottom as well, I think that the big one is Ross County away form. Away form's picked up after, you know, what was it, 14, 15 months or something without a win. Yeah. Then go and win a few games. They've shown that they can do it. So it's only going to get tighter down the bottom. So like you said, that new manager bounce is exactly what's required at Fir Park.
Stevie Frail's left the club as well today, yeah. Roger. So it was, I think, always going to happen. He was brought in by Stuart Kettlewell, especially if the new manager wanted to bring his own staff in, then Stevie Frail would leave.
Yeah, he would move on. He spoke well of the enjoyment he had had in his couple of years at Motherwell. I don't think he'd actually been looking to get back into coaching until he got the invitation from Stuart Kettlewell. And I think once he accepted it, he really enjoyed being back in the grass, really enjoyed working with that group of players at Motherwell, enjoyed working with Stuart Kettlewell. And it's maybe whetted his appetite to get back in again.
Yeah, Motherwell fans, what do you think? Stephen's given us his thoughts. He's really excited. He's so excited he's going for a trip to Dundee that he wasn't otherwise planning on. So how are you feeling? Is it the right appointment, or do you subscribe to that old statement that we often hear about getting a manager that knows the league? Give us your thoughts on 01419511025. This is a very difficult question on the teaser tonight. Since 2000, there are six former Old Firm players who've been signed by a manager that's won the Champions League for a British club. Very tough. But as an example, Liam Miller, he's a former Old Firm player, played for Celtic. He was signed by Sir Alex Ferguson, a man who won the Champions League with a British club. Anymore?
We've got a belter.
Is there someone who's close to this show?
Yes.
Is there? I wasn't sure. I wasn't sure if I was going to be on there, but yeah, myself.
I was hoping you'd miss it out.
Go on then, piece it together for us, for anyone who can't.
Di Matteo won the Champions League at Chelsea, took over Aston Villa, and much to the annoyance of every Aston Villa fan, signed mate.
There you go. Ross McCormick ticks the boxes.
A tournament Fergie and ex-Celts Henrik Larsson.
Alone. So permanent, oh, so only. Permanent, sorry, yeah, only. I should have said, sorry.
If that's the case, Virgil van Dijk.
No.
Oh, is he at Liverpool before Klopp?
The devil might be in the detail here, because was Klopp...
Klopp definitely signed him. He signed him with Alisson, didn't he? That was the change.
But hadn't won the Champions League by then, Klopp, though, had he? Do you know what I mean? I think that's the...
Oh, do you have to win the Champions League before you sign the players?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, right, okay.
So he's not a Champions League winning manager when he signs him. Do you know what I mean?
Right, that knocks out my next one then. Which was? Guardiola signing Patrick Roberts. No. So they have to win the Champions League and then sign the players?
I didn't even think that would be an important detail, but it turns out it is.
Right, okie dokie.
My apologies. Okay, we'll get the rest of the answers next. Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
An unbelievably hard teaser question to finish off for Roger Hanna and Ross McCormack tonight. Keep your calls coming. You can still squeeze them into us. You're looking for, on the teaser, since 2000, six former Old Firm players who've been signed by a manager who has won the Champions League with a British team. Now the manager has to have signed them like after he won the Champions League. I know it's complex, but Roger's a brain box and we have to try and catch him out. So Sir Alex Ferguson, after he won it, signed Liam Miller.
Yeah,
played for Celtic, right? Roberto Di Matteo, after he won it, he signed our very own Ross McCormick for Aston Villa.
Right, at the break we've worked out Pep Guardiola hasn't signed any, Thomas Tuchel hasn't signed any. We don't think Jurgen Klopp signed any because Van Dijk.
So not after he won it.
Not yep. after. So we reckon it's down to Rafa Benitez, who won it with Liverpool in 2005.
If you can crack the former Old Firm players that Rafa Benitez has signed somewhere, you will, you'll finish the teaser actually from here. Because you've got Sir Alex.
He's been at more clubs than Hugh Keevans has been at newspapers.
That's
over
the problem.
Years. So that is the problem.
What are you thinking?
Except, well, Liverpool, he won it with.
Right.
So he had a spell at Everton, he had a spell at Chelsea, he had a spell at Newcastle.
Did
as
he
well
sign
as,
did he sign any former Old Firm players at Everton, say? Any that might still be there?
Right back.
Nathan Patterson. Did he really?
Okay.
Great shout. Good shout, Ross.
The most recent one's a cracker. It's an absolute cracker.
Is the most recent one a Newcastle one?
No, it's, I won't tell you too much, but you're saying he's managed a lot of places and it's recent. So I'm telling you.
Overseas or UK?
Well, it's overseas.
Overseas. So where was he recently?
Did I mention his name a minute ago?
Who?
Billy Gilmour at
Napoli. No.
I know he was at Napoli.
No, he's, I'll leave it with you.
Oh.
It's a tough one.
He didn't. No.
Quick.
No, it's gone.
Jordan's a Rangers fan. How are you, Jordan?
Evening, gents. Evening, Ross.
Hi, Jordan.
Evening, Roger.
Hi, Jordan.
What is on your mind tonight, Jordan?
I've got a couple of points, but first point was just really for William that phoned up earlier on. I couldn't believe that he'd put Clement in the same bracket as Souness and Walter Smith. I don't even think Clement could have laced Walter Smith's boots up, so just for him to try and equate the two or the three of them together, they kind of shocked me, especially
I think he said something like even they would have got stick for that result last week, something like that. I don't think he was saying he was as good.
Gordon, Walter Smith or Souness wouldn't have us in this mess. It wouldn't have got this far if it was them two. He's got himself in this mess. I have to agree with what Ross said at the start of the show. The walking, talking contradiction. Clement strikes again because he talks about deserving to win and performances. If that's the case, Hearts should have beat us on Sunday. If it wasn't for two own goals, I think we would have been beaten. The atmosphere would have been totally different. So I just think he just does nothing but contradict himself. And I mean, he's an absolute master of gaslighting. And I think Williams becomes susceptible and has fallen foul of his gaslighting. And believes that he's a good manager because he shouldn't be anywhere near Rangers at the moment.
So it sounds like he didn't take much away from a win yesterday.
No, it's papering over the cracks, Gordon. You know I've phoned up 20 times and said he had to go. It's just, this is papering over the cracks.
What could change this season then? Because if you do survive a defeat to Queen's Park, do you survive anything? You know, that theory that it's just he's there and you need to make your peace with it. Do you think that is how it's going to play out?
Yeah, I mean, it's clear that Patrick Stewart doesn't have the bottle to sack him, or if he did, he would have done it on the Monday after the Queen's Park game.
So, in that regard, it can't get any worse?
It can't get any worse. I would have actually liked that Vimmer to come to us instead of your team, because I mean, he sounds a wee bit more exciting than Clement. He just likes to blame everybody, and he chucked Bailey Rice under the bus last week. That was, I mean, that to me is the nail in the coffin for him. If he's willing to chuck youth under the bus and blame youth when it's all his decisions, that they're carrying out his instructions, and I don't know where we go from here.
I've seen Rangers fans point out since yesterday, Jordan, that you know you might as well just enjoy the win. I take it you can't really manage to do that at the moment.
Enjoy the win. I mean, I suppose maybe we should enjoy it because they're going to be few and far between. I don't know. I don't know why we celebrate a win over Hearts where we conceded two own goals. It's we're sloppy. The better team lost yesterday. That's a sad fact.
Roger?
It's interesting, Gordon, because results themselves have been bad enough, but I think a lot of the Rangers supporters, like Jordan, they correctly examine the post-match and pre-match words of Philip Clement and it's making matters worse rather than making matters better. Now, Graeme Souness was a name you mentioned there at the start, Jordan. Graeme Souness, you'll remember, was manager when Rangers lost to Hamilton Accies in 1987. Now, Hamilton Accies were a Premier League team, but it was still a seismic shock. And Graeme Souness bounced back by winning the league. So he got back in favour. Not that he was ever really out of favour, but you know the point I'm making. And he spoke well after the Hamilton Accies game, and he accepted the responsibility for the defeat, and he took the club forward. Philip Clement hasn't yet, in my eye, listen, maybe I've missed some interviews, I don't think he shouldered enough blame for that defeat and accepted how historic that defeat was. In the immediate aftermath of the game, he was talking nonsense about 30 chances created and however much possession they had. Rangers fans don't want to hear that. And, you know, they don't want Bailey Rice, anything bad to happen to his confidence or his development, and they feel his development may have been stunted by what happened against Queen's Park last weekend. And Philip Clement really needs to appreciate that what he's saying pre-match and post-match is not necessarily helping his cause.
Yeah, I mean, Ross, that we're seeing the... I was going to say the split, but I think William was quite an extreme example earlier. Not that he's wrong, I just feel he's probably in the minority based on what we hear. I don't know if the majority are as strong as Jordan, but I think they're probably leaning more to his way of thinking.
I would imagine so, yes. I just don't, and I think there's probably a lot of Rangers fans that might agree, I just don't think he realises what it takes to be steering a ship at a club this size. Because that then pre and post match interviews that he does, when he mentions some crazy, crazy things, he's just killing himself even more. It's giving people even more reason to sort of, you know, come at him. It just doesn't need to see it.
Okay, we'll leave it there. Thank you to Jordan on the line. That's probably our final caller. It's a really tough teaser, this. It's probably too hard, but we're a victim of our own attempts to catch out Roger Hanna. Can you name the six former Old Firm players since 2000 who've been signed by a manager who had previously won the Champions League with a British team? So like Rafa Benitez signed Nathan Patterson, Roberto Di Matteo signed Ross McCormick, Sir Alex Ferguson signed Liam Miller. I have to say, the Crazy Pony doesn't get much wrong, so I don't know if it's my mistake or whatever, but Matthew makes a fair point on Twitter. I think Ben Doak should probably be on the list.
Yeah,
but he's not.
Yeah, fair enough.
So anyway, we'll add him as a wee bonus. Okay, any others?
Thank you, Matthew. Robbie Keane?
No. Oh, this is not going as well. This is too hard. We'll finally
snickered
you.
His last port of call was the port of Vigo.
Yes.
Did he sign Carl Starfelt?
He did. Rafa Benitez signed Carl Starfelt. Okay. You're looking for someone he signed at Newcastle, who previously played for the Old Firm, and someone he signed at Liverpool. A former Celtic midfielder that he signed at Newcastle.
That's a good one.
You said overseas. He's definitely overseas player. And he...
He didn't have Aaron Moy, did he?
No. He played for Celtic, Swansea in Newcastle.
Key.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And what about Liverpool? But after they won the Champions League, a big defender that used to be at Rangers.
Senderos.
Nope, Liverpool.
Kyriakos.
Oh, tough. It's a tough school on a Monday. They're not always as hard as that, so don't worry. We'll be back with something more straightforward. And what a treat we have for you. Have you ever wanted to listen to 5 hours of Gordon Dalziel on a Tuesday night? Well, tomorrow you get your wish. Him and Marvin Bartley are staying on late in case Celtic can pull off what would be a massive Champions League result. So on at 6 as normal, right through, and we'll get your reaction afterwards. Looking forward to it greatly. We will speak to you then. Enjoy the rest of your Monday.